Hey folks, John Ojaka here from MusicMarketingManifesto.com, where you'll find advanced strategies, tactics, and tips for selling your music. Now what you're about to hear is a conversation between myself and a good friend, Brian Vander Ark from the band Verve Pipe. Brian's the lead singer and principal songwriter of Verve Pipe, and he has sold more than 3 million albums worldwide and produced a string of hit singles, including the number one song, The Freshman. When Brian struck out on his own and began a career as a solo artist, he found himself up against many of the same challenges that every independent musician faces. However, Brian has developed a strategy for himself that has helped him generate a solid six-figure income by essentially offering private house concerts to his fans. Now, this is a strategy that is not only effective, but it's one that any musician can apply, and in a moment, you're going to hear exactly how he does it and how you can do it too. But before we dive in, I just wanted to give you a little background on what you're going to be hearing. As I mentioned, Brian is a friend of mine, and when I initially called him, it was just to have a preliminary conversation. It was not my plan at all to do the interview. However, I have a Skype recorder that auto-records every call that I make, and because Brian's a friend, I didn't think to let him know that I was recording until about halfway through the call. But once we got rolling, I realized that the very frank and honest conversation we were having was going to make a really great interview, and so what you're hearing is that actual conversation that was recorded with no intention of actually turning this into something for public consumption. But honestly, I think that's what kind of makes this a really good and important interview. Now, I've of course edited out all the personal stuff, so you don't have to hear about what the weather was like that day or whatever it was we were talking about. But I say this not only because you might notice that the tone of this conversation is particularly relaxed, but I also mention it because I just wanted you to know how sincere the discussion you're hearing actually is. So much of the stuff out there is just canned content, the only purpose of which is to sell you something. That is not what this is. This is just pure content. Content for your benefit, no strings attached. I know Brian, and I know that his house concert strategy is a really good one. Both he and I thought you would too. So, without any further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Brian Vander Ark.
Hello.
Hey, Brian. It's John.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Hey, hold on 1 second. Let me just set my daughter up.
Sure, sure.
Okay. There we go.
Okay. So your thing, I think, is really, really cool. It's something I mention to friends all the time just because I think it's awesome. The whole, what do you call it? Lawn Chair Warrior Tour or something like that? What do you call it?
Lawn Chairs and Living Rooms Tour.
Right.
Yeah, that way, you know, it's essentially just home concerts, but, you know, it's on the musician side of it, it really is on steroids. I mean, I do 4 shows. I think I even did 5 shows on one Saturday. You know,
wow.
I'll do 8 shows in a weekend because you give everybody a 2-hour block and then you go to the next one and you try to book. For instance, I'll try to book St. Louis and I'll try to book, you know, 4 shows over a weekend. So it'll, you know, I can keep the cost down for the fans, you know.
And, right.
So far it's worked great. I'm in my 5th year. Next summer will be my 5th. Yeah.
Your 5th year doing this?
5th, yeah. The first
wow.
year was just to raise money to record an album, you know. I mean, that's why I did it at, you know, 50 grand. And so I put this out there that I'll come into your homes and play for a certain amount of money. And then I'll put a thank you on your album, and it took off. I mean, there was probably 50, 60 shows in the remainder of that summer, and then the next year I did well over 100 in the summer.
Wow.
You know, so.
And you were charging, what, $1,000, if memory serves?
$1,000 is probably the average, but I'll do them for as low as, I think, you know, I mean, I do them for friends and everything for
sure.
Nothing, but I mean, for people that, you know, might not be able to afford it and I know them and they've been fans, you know, I'll do it for
right.
$250.
Right, right, right.
You know, it's just like, these are the people that, you know, come to all the shows, buy the merchandise, but going into their house is a whole different thing. They can invite their friends. It's great word of mouth. And then all their friends buy CDs, and then I end up booking more shows to their friends. And literally, I go into their home, and I sit on a couch or a chair that they set up in their living room, and I play without a PA system. And if, you know, if it's nice outside, I'll sit on the back porch. I'll sit outside. Sometimes they put a little PA up. But I travel without a PA. You know, it's up
right.
to them to provide, you know, a little personal PA system. So Yeah, man, it not only is it work, but you know, I'm able to make, you know, over six figures just touring now.
Yeah,
and that's just in May through October, you know.
That's nuts. Yeah, that is so awesome. I mean, Devin gave me the breakdown. I've seen the documentary and everything, and he was telling me all about it, you know, when he went out with you to film the thing, and I was just like sort of slapping my forehead going, why haven't I ever tried that? I mean, I know you have a lot of, you know, you've had those successful albums and you have a strong fan base, but I think a lot of people could pull off their own version of it. You know, if perhaps not charging $1,000, I think there's a lot of people who maybe don't have as big of a name who could still go and charge a high end price, and perhaps anyone could. I suppose if your relationship is good enough with your fans and your list and that kind of thing, it might just work. But
a lot of times people just pass the hat too. I mean, and I've got friends that do this now, and they, you know, they're in the situation where they don't have any songs that, you know, that people know, and, you know, and they'll just go, I mean, they can't go out and ask for $500 even from somebody, but they'll go in and they'll say, well, we'll pass the hat. And then they walk with $300 or $400 in the hat, you know,
Hey, look,
when you're playing a club and there's no guarantee and you're playing for half the door, $60-$70.
Right.
You tell me what's better. You know?
Yeah, totally, totally.
Plus, you can go from one to the next is the great thing about it. You know, if you have five shows or four shows on a Saturday, you know, even at $100 a piece, you just made $500 for the Saturday.
Right.
So,
yeah.
It's definitely the way to do it.
And you're making a much more a lasting impression on the people at the shows. These people, I imagine, like the people that are the friends of the people organizing the show, these people become sort of fans for life, because you're not just some guy they saw on a drunken night at a club, but rather you're the guy they sat and hung with for a little bit and talked with and had.
You have to make it a special deal. You know, what I do is I let the host request any of the songs from my catalog, and even some favorite covers, and I'll learn some covers for fun. I mean, it's so casual that I'll have, you know, I'll have lyric sheets for the favorite song there or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And I'll mess up a song, and I'll start another song instead that I like better by that artist or whatever.
Right.
It's such a, if you imagine the old movies in the, you know, that you saw in the 20s and 30s, 40s, where there's a party and somebody walks up to a piano and starts playing, people gather around. That's the vibe.
Right, right.
And you do that for an hour concert, and then you hang out for an hour. They feed you. You know, a lot of times they'll offer a place to stay. I make it a habit to never stay.
Sure.
You know, but the fact is that touring musicians can do it and will make more money and do better than they will if they do a club circuit, that's for sure.
Right, right. And how did you start this whole thing? So I think if I have it right, you just simply send out an email to your list one day 5 years ago asking your fans if they'd be interested in it, or how did you organize it?
Essentially, that was it. I just, you know, I had to raise money for this album. We just moved into a new house. I wasn't making enough money. The clubs, you know, there's no more guarantees, the places
right.
I was playing. And I sent a letter saying, look, I want to continue music. And I tried not to be too needy about it. I wasn't begging. I was just saying, here's the deal. I'll come into your home. I'll play for an hour. I'll tell some stories. I'll hang out with you for an extra hour for pictures. And you can make up the set list. And you can even record, videotape, you can record it, you can burn CDs and pass it along to your friends. It only helps me, that kind of thing.
Right.
And we'll accept, you know, we'll take a look at any offer that you can offer financially. Well, it ended up doing really well, and we ended up, you know, had to take most of the high-end ones. And then the next year I went back and, you know, did the ones that were really low-balled, you know, the $200, $300 ones.
Right, so you put that out there in advance. You don't tell everyone they must pay $1,000. You just basically say
no. What
you have to offer.
No. No, what I learned, and I didn't learn this. I mean, I actually got really lucky, and
right.
It really worked to my advantage, is I never put out there exactly what the amount will be. I'll always say, well, you know, it's somewhere around a major appliance.
Right, right.
Somewhere around, you know, if you're buying a new stove at Lowe's, you know, you're probably going to pay about that much. But people can charge admission too, you know. And that's perfectly fine. I have people that actually make more money, you know.
Right.
And that's fine. But I put the email out and then just waited for the responses, and the responses came in, and then I would say, well, you know, Brian's, you know, the chance of him getting to Long Island are very slim this year from Michigan.
Right.
But I ended up, you know, 3 days later, I had two more from Long Island. I go to Long Island. I played six shows in Long Island over a weekend.
Right.
All of them, $400 or $500 at the most. And that's basically how it worked. I mean, people wrote back. They asked, how much would it be to have them come here? And say, well, if we can get this other one to come in, then it'll be this price. If we can't get this other one and he has to make a special trip, it'll be this price.
Gotcha.
But so I never charge people for flights. I always leave it up to me to book the cheapest flight, to book the cheapest hotel. Everything I do, it's all inclusive. If you get me for $500, then you don't have to pay for anything else.
Right.
Part of the deal too.
And you just completely, there's a lot of back and forth. You send out an email saying, this is what I'm doing. This is approximately what I'm going to need to make this work. Are you interested? They send me a date kind of thing, and then they get back to you.
Yeah, tell me the dates. And the great thing is, too, is another unexpected thing that happened was people had a date in mind already. They're going to surprise their best friend or their wife or whatever who's a big fan and that kind of thing. They already have a date in mind.
Right.
And so they'll come back with the date, and I'll get other people, and you know, they'll say, you know, there's one that somebody in Texas wants me to be down there for their anniversary, and he's willing to pay $1,500 for me to go down to Texas. And then I'll go with the other Texas people, and I'll say, hey, I'm going to be in Texas. You can get a show really cheap, you know, $300 or $400, $500, $600, whatever I think I might be able to get, and I book six shows around that one anchor show.
Right.
And that happens quite a bit.
Right. So when you send out that email and they get back to you, are people reluctant to throw a number out there? Like, I would imagine some people are afraid of the price tag, so they get back to you and still say, well, what would it cost?
They don't want to offend you.
Right.
And they'll usually preface it with that. I don't want to offend you.
Right.
But we'd be willing to pay, you know, $400, and then you come back and you just say, well, look, I can't make the trip to St. Louis for $400 and not book another show. Let me see if I can get a couple more shows, and then we can do your show.
Right. And you fit all these shows into how small of how many months?
Well, it started out from June till September, and now I go from mid-April until, God, November.
Right. Wow. And you're out the whole time, or you're coming back every couple of
weeks? No, I come back. That's the beautiful thing is that you really only go out, you really only have to go out, you know, when most people don't want a show on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday night, even Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
Sunday afternoon shows are very popular. So those 4 days out of the week, and then I'm home, you know, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, usually, and then leave Thursday again, you know. I end up coming home. In fact, I do, most times I'll drive. You know, if I get a show in the city, you know, it's 10 hours. I'll just drive to Kansas City.
Yeah, I saw your trailer in the documentary.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll play the three or four shows. We don't take the trailer that much anymore because that was a family thing, and now that we got two kids, it's nearly impossible.
Gotcha.
But, you know, I usually make the drive, and then I just drive home. I never want to sit in a hotel for 3 days, you know.
Right.
I mean, if you have a family, I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah. Well, that's
and that's the beauty of it too.
Sure. That is the big issue these days. Is the you know with a new kid, I can't see myself really going out and touring in any serious capacity. I've been doing everything online, and it's all about list building and building the relationship with them online and trying to accomplish all that same relationship building stuff that you sort of get out of being out there and performing. I've been trying to do that all email, and it definitely works, but you know, sometimes you kind of miss getting out there and playing, and what you're doing sounds pretty cool, and it also just sounds smart, and it's something that I'm interested in sharing with other musicians. I'm kind of interested. If you're interested, I'd be sort of interested in. I just said interested way too many times tonight. I'd like to do an interview or something and just shoot the shit like we're doing now and send that out to people and just kind of you know, tell them who you are, tell them what we're doing. And,
absolutely.
Cool.
Whatever you want to do and whenever you want to do it.
To be honest, I'm calling on Skype, and I have a Skype recorder that automatically records conversations, mm-hmm. and normally I just delete them, but it's been running this whole time, and most of
Great.
What you're saying was pretty good, so I'm kind of wondering if I can't just, you know, take this conversation and cut out anything, you know, all the personal stuff, and maybe do a little bookend on the beginning and the end where I just kind of intro you and walk us out, and maybe we might actually already have it.
Absolutely, man. I feel like you got it. Great.
Is there anything that you – were there any problems you had doing this whole process that you didn't expect? Was there any, you know, basically advice you'd give me or other musicians who were going to go out and do this, some road bumps that you ran into that you didn't expect?
I would say the best thing to do is to get a partner, somebody that can act as your agent if you don't have an agent, somebody that can correspond. I mean, I always like to stay personal with the fans, but when you start talking about money, you
right.
know, it's nice to have somebody else to be able to say, well, look, he can't really do that. He should do this, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
I made that mistake, I think, the first year, because you certainly don't want to alienate anybody.
Sure.
You know, if I'm the one saying, look, you know, I'm going to need $500 or $600, and they're like, oh, my God, I had no idea it'd be that much, and that's
sure.
the end of the email course, but I might have lost a fan. You know?
Sure, sure.
So I would recommend that. One of the fears that you have, you know, there's always that fear that somebody says, like, there's a woman that, you know, that says there's going to be 50 people there and it's just her and her wedding dress. You have to be able to, you really have to study emails a bit. If somebody's writing in all caps, you know, it's probably not,
right.
probably not going to be good. But one thing I have noticed, and this might seem really superfluous, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. The people that go back and forth a lot, usually it doesn't pan out.
Right. Gotcha.
The people that really want it want to nail you down.
Yeah.
And if you keep going back and forth and say, well, what is Brian going to do this? And I monitor every email that comes in that Todd ends up looking for me. But so I know. And when they keep going back and forth with little things here and little things here and little things here, when there's 10, 12, 15 emails, I'll usually think you just need to shut this down because you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
And it's the truth.
I've seen that so much. Yeah.
Out.
With
yeah.
sales, I see that every day where you'll get this customer yeah. that'll send you. I've literally had customers send maybe 30 or 40 emails if you add up all the back and forth, and then they don't buy, or they do buy, and then they want to return for some ridiculous reason.
Yeah.
Any kind yeah. of the best customers you get at the most one simple email asking a question, and then they order.
Right.
But you're right.
I think that's it. I mean, shocking as it is, there really has been no downside. Occasionally you get a show where, you know, a father, you know, bought me for his kid,
right.
you know, and the kid, you know, was into the music, but not really, you know,
right.
and then
right.
or people talk during the performance or something. The best ones are always the hardcore fans who have specific songs they want to hear. And they're recording, and you know, they know all the songs, and they listen, and they, you know, and the hosts let everybody know this is a listening show. But occasionally you get the ones where people are milling about and stuff, and that's fine too, dude. It's still better than the clubs.
Sure.
You know?
Do you find most of them are just you on a couch with an acoustic guitar, or do most people go out and actually get a PA or something?
Most of them. You know, I gotta tell you, it's half and half.
Okay.
I prefer not to use a PA if I don't have to.
Right.
I just prefer to sit on a picnic table and play for people in their lawn chairs. That's perfect for me on a nice day. That's perfect.
Yeah, that sounds good.
The problem that you have is that if you do four or five of them, by the end of the day, if you're projecting that much, you have no voice, you know,
right.
by the end of the day, and by the next day too. So then I tell people, look, I got five shows, you need to get a small PA. And small PA systems, people usually, you know, can rent them at a music store we tell them $100, $150, you know.
Right, right.
and for the whole unit. And sometimes people try, you know, we tell people, don't bring a guitar amp with a little Sears microphone you plug in and do it. That doesn't work. I mean,
right.
These are all little things that you go back and forth on. But for the most part, there's really no downside.
Does anyone ever ask you to play a venue? Like, do they try to get you out of that?
Yeah, we don't do venues.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't do we do them if it's closed to the public. We don't
right.
do any public shows.
Gotcha.
That's the deal. It has to be private invitation only. We let people know that, because then you get club owners that would be like, "Oh, I can get him
for cheap,
you know,
right.
half the money I got him for last year," and you know,
right,
but,
right.
You know, we typically don't do that. One thing I wanted to, that I didn't mention was that people have this idea that musicians are always late.
Uh-huh.
And the one thing I would tell people is, another thing I would tell people is never, no matter what, don't be late to a person's home.
Right.
I'll go and be out sitting in my car for 45 minutes before a show.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, and then I'll pull up in the driveway, you know, just to make sure I'm there exactly on time. And that's, I think that's critical for return. I've had people that will be on their fifth show this year.
Right, right. That's actually something I did want to ask you about, is that return, the sort of how you make something like that grow, because I think a lot of people would be concerned, okay, maybe they can get one season out of it, and then if their list isn't growing at a rapid pace, then they may not have people interested enough to keep it going. Are you seeing it grow? It sounds like it. Obviously, you've extended the amount of time you're doing
yeah.
this. Yeah.
I think that, you know, the second year it really took off. The third, and that was where I saw a pretty dramatic difference. And that was only because, you know, 5 years ago there weren't a lot of people that were doing this, and nobody really knew what this was, what a house concert was, and oh, you can have concerts in your home. I've never heard of that.
Right.
But this, you know, the second year was a word of mouth. The word of mouth really took off, and my shows doubled, more than doubled. And then, and most of those were people that had it the year before. Another thing is that people that go to the party, you know, the first year, the second year, they'll ask, "Hey, are you going to have, you know, so and so come back again? That was so cool, so much fun." And sometimes the people might even be pressured to do another show.
Right.
I got this attorney who ends up being a friend now. He's Bobby Truitt, great guy in New Orleans, and I went down there the first year, and he has a party for his law firm every year now at his house in October, and pays me a shitload of money to do it.
Right.
Just to come, you know, because, you know, we started a tradition. When you're the tradition, you're golden.
Yeah, that sounds pretty
good.
It
really is a great thing. So you have to make the first show so compelling and fun. You have to look people in the eye and laugh and listen to their stories and tell stories and make it so casual and fun that they want to have you back. Because
right.
they're a hero to
right.
their friends. You know?
Sure, sure.
You know, they've got a musician coming through.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned that you do quite a few shows in a day. You're saying as many as five shows in a day. Is that what you said?
Yeah, the most I've done is five. Typically, I'll do three or four. I at least try to do three on a Saturday and three on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty intense, because you're saying two-hour blocks, right? An hour-long performance.
Yeah.
An hour
well, they'll start, you know, usually I'll go 12 to 2, and then, you know, I'll try never to book anybody that's more than 30 miles away,
mm-hmm.
and I'll book, you know, the next one at 3 to 5, and so forth, and so on and so forth.
Right.
And then sometimes I'll do late-night shows. In fact, I've done club shows before with the Vert Pipe and then gone to people's homes at, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock for an after-party and did a show then, you know.
That's cool.
So, I mean, whatever works. I mean, it really is about perpetuating a life in music.
Right.
And if you can do that, how often, if I can play, you know, if I'm only going to make $200, $300 after a Vert Pipe show, it's still $200 or $300.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it's like, it's valuable in the wintertime. I get the vacation now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, how do you stick with your territory? How far away from home do you go? Do you spread it across the country? You're saying you come home on your off days, so I'm guessing that you don't actually drive off to L.A., for example, for a run.
No, I'll fly to L.A. Typically, I'll fly to Texas in May,
mm-hmm.
and I'll go down to Texas for 2 weeks in May or a week in May and just hit all of Texas.
Gotcha.
And those people have been doing it for the last at least 3 years, same people. About six people down there that do it. And the same thing with California. So I usually hit California in August or September.
Gotcha.
And I've been up to the Northwest once or twice, only once. And it's hot, if there's only one person and they can't afford, what's going to end up costing me, $600 flight.
Right.
To be able to make any money in the way, then I just can't take the show.
Gotcha. So if it was someone over there that you might charge $1,000, that's where your higher end ticket goes in so that you're still profiting a good chunk.
Yeah, if somebody called me, or if somebody emailed and said, hey, we live in Portland, can you do this for $1,000? I would seriously have to consider it because I would first I'd go to the websites and look at the flights and say, well, what are flights at the time they want me? And if it's $500, oh, I'm going to walk with $500. That's cutting it close for that much travel,
sure.
And everything.
Sure.
So typically I try to book another show and just put an email out and say, hey, I'm going to be in this area. If you want a show, you can get a show for as low as $300. Again, I'm making $800,
Right, right.
I mean, $1,300. Then it's worth it.
Sure, sure. And how do you, when you set out to do one of these, how do you solicit the responses? Do you go and just send out a blast once a year? Do you have everyone sort of segmented based on their states or zip codes? How do you approach it with the actual?
No, we do it the first year. We did a blast to everybody. And the first 2 years maybe. And then I think last year was the first year that we sent out a blast that said, here's the way we're going to do it this year because we have the Vertpipe just put out a new album and we can't book things this far in advance anymore because you never know what tours are going to happen with the band. So we would do just that. We would pick a region and we'd say, here, we're going to be in this area in these 2 months. If you're interested, write us back. If not, wait to respond until, we call out your area, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And that's because there's hundreds and hundreds of emails that come in. That's the only way we can keep on top of it. And then just, folders for everybody. Keep
gotcha.
Folders of information, of
sure.
each state. I've got each state in a folder, and I just throw them over there. And then when the time comes, we go through them and go, this person wanted to show in this state, and this person wanted to show in this state. And it really is a matter of having a partner and getting a map out and saying, well, we could do this and this and this and this week, take 3 of these off, and then do this and this and this and this, and this is the money that will be coming in.
Right. Is this your manager who sort of organizes it all, or who do you have doing that?
Well, I hired a fan who actually booked me at a launcher show, Todd Van Hammond. He's one of the guys that I went to in Appleton, Wisconsin, and he just struck me as a go-getter and a really personable guy, and he's been doing it for me for almost 4 years now.
Cool.
Shows for
is
me.
This that on like a volunteer kind of basis? Is he an employee?
No, I pay him.
Cool.
No, I pay him, yeah.
Cool.
Pay him to take care of all the that stuff and all the mailing list, and he updates all the sites and all that stuff, so I don't deal with any of that stuff anymore.
Right, right. That's all.
So he really is kind of a personal assistant.
This is all really good stuff. So where can someone find out more about you if someone wanted to check out your music, if they wanted to get on your list so that they could get notifications of the next time you're doing one of these lawn chairs and living room tours? I said that right, didn't I? Lawn chair and living room? Is that what you're calling it?
That's correct. Lawn chairs, living room tours.
Yeah, so
yeah, the best thing to do is just go to brianvanderark.com. That's the best. All the information's there on the front page. There's a link to where you just click on, and it goes to spoiledbratmanagement@hotmail.com in case your link doesn't work, which it should. But you can email, and myself and my partner get those emails directly, and that'll get the ball rolling for you.
And one thing we haven't really talked too much about is the documentary film that Devin Gummersall directed. This is a documentary, you can maybe tell people more about it, where you had a filmmaker go out on, was it your first tour or was it the second one that you did?
This was the second one that he came out on. I did the first one, and then I had lunch with him when I was in Los Angeles, and I told him what I was doing. He said, oh, that would be a great documentary, and so we took a couple months and to figure out how he wanted to do it. And he said, well, I'm just going to come out and shoot. Let's do it that way. And he did. And he followed me around. And we had booked, I think, 7 shows in 1 weekend he came out for. Might be 8 or 9 shows, actually. So we were cruising. I mean, it was no time to spare, including, I think, a Verpipe show one night.
Yeah, I remember
four shows on Saturday and then a Verpipe show that night. And then he basically just followed me around. And then we did little interviews here and there. But, you know, you really get a taste of what people do for their parties, you know, in that documentary. I think the documentary is wonderful. I mean, Devin's a terrific director.
Yeah, it's a great
documentary. And it really captured a lot of great moments, you know.
If someone wanted to check it out so they could kind of get a sense of what it was like to do it and to be out there playing people's living rooms, where could they find the documentary?
You can find it on my website. That's the easiest way. I'm brianvanderark.com again.
Cool.
And also facebook.com/brianvanderark.
Okay, great.
In fact, that's probably even better, a better place to find it.
Okay, awesome. Well, that is all really good stuff. I think that just about anybody who has ever performed could apply just about everything you said here to their own business model, if you want to call it that, and go out and I think make their career viable. I think that's what a lot of musicians are really missing out on. They're going out and they're trying to survive on $10 products, and it gets really tough. And even when you go out there and try to play the traditional venues, you know, you're lucky to get $50 if you're not some huge name. And I think that just about anyone could apply what you're saying. And maybe they're not charging $1,000, or maybe they're charging $200, but it's not too difficult to see how anyone can go out and set a touring schedule that's not only actually easier to set up than booking one throughout all the different venues, but a whole lot more profitable.
Absolutely, more profitable is the key too. I mean, that's the truth, is that I can make promises to my friends that, look, you're going to make more money playing for people than you are by doing the club circuit, playing for people in their homes, that's for sure.
Awesome. Well, that went better than I thought. I thought we were just going to shoot the shit, and I think we got the interview, so awesome.
Great, man.
Cool, man. Well,
great,
thanks.
John. Thank you, bro.
I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon. All right, thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to learn more about Brian Vander Ark or check out his documentary called The Lawn Chairs and Living Room Documentary, it's available at his site. That's brianvanderark.com. Again, brianvanderark.com. And to find the documentary, you just scroll down a bit on the homepage and you'll see a link for the LCLR documentary. If you'd like to learn more advanced strategies, tactics, and tips for selling your music, go to musicmarketingmanifesto.com. Thanks for listening, and take care.